Good morning, everyone. It's Sunday, March 15th, 2015. Our subject today is substance, and we had a great Bible study yesterday on that topic. So today we will get back to our miscellaneous writings, questions and answers. Last week I did quite a bit of the talking, so I want to now put it all out to you as to any questions or comments you have about that first question on what do you consider to be mental malpractice.
It's really a lie. Lie about somebody.
Yes, it's not the truth. I guess
it's an illusion.
Who is
it's
that?
It's an illusion. It's fairy. It's an illusion trying to call itself reality.
Well, yeah, it's not person, place, or thing, as Mrs. Eddy
exactly.
says.
Exactly. It's like you're the psychologist, and a magician. It's that this illusion that would make us believe something's real but isn't there.
Okay. Elizabeth, I'd like you to read. Elizabeth read something to me from the Andrew Hartsook letter. I don't know if you are all familiar with the Andrew Hartsook letter. He sends it out, I think, 4 times a year. It's a report on various activities. If any of you would like to get it, you can email us and we will give you his address. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Okay, do you want me to read what I read to you? It's pretty long.
Yeah, just read
okay.
What you read.
All right. In the church manual, I'll just preface this, the Christian Science Board of Directors, it says, shall elect annually a committee on business, which shall consist of not less than 3 loyal members of the Mother Church, who shall transact promptly and efficiently such business as Mrs. Eddy, the directors, or the committee on publication shall commit to it. That's from the manual. The intent of this committee was to render positive metaphysical support to the church, its officers, activities, and false characterizations in the press. The fall 2010 banner asked former committee members to give accounts, assignments, and experiences while on the committee. It has been reported over the last 27 years that the business committee has been subverted into a malpractice committee to eliminate and or punish those people in the field who present a threat to the board and its policies. One newly appointed committee member was handed the following assignment to argue by a member of the board of directors during the Harvey Wood era. Anyone who does not unreservedly support the policy of the Christian Science Board of Directors will have no success as a healer, nor will he prosper in his professional life or personal life. The new committee member recognized this to be malicious mental malpractice and immediately resigned. The current outlines of the Committee on Business have been described as follows to the editor of the banner. There are generally 12 members, 6 on the, quote, dark side and 6 on the, quote, light side. Those on the dark side are to work for the elimination or severe punishment of targeted individuals. Those on the light side are generally new members who may be given positive metaphysical work or arguments such as the one quoted above. The members of the committee are compartmentalized and do not know who else is on the committee, at least for the first few years of their appointment. That's pretty much what I read to you, but goes on a little bit more.
Thank you. All right, any comments on that?
Sheer evil?
Yeah, it is.
This was done supposedly in a church.
Supposedly in a Christian Science church.
This is what is referred to as spiritual wickedness in high places. It's the result of the humanization or the attempt to humanize Christian Science.
Anybody else? An example.
It has to come back to yourself if you think in this way. That is wickedness that has its result.
That's right. That's exactly what Mrs. Eddy says in this short article that we talked about last week. It will go back on the malpractitioner. So it's an example, believe me, it's an example of what not to do and what is not science. And it is almost unbelievable that it, you know, that it would come to this. But, and I didn't have Elizabeth read it to you to scare you in any way, because as we talked about last week, it's not to be ignored, nor is it to be feared, but it is to be handled. If there was a snake in your house, wouldn't be good to ignore it, wouldn't be good to run from it, but to handle it would mean you would get rid of it, pick it up, do something with it, but not just let it sneak around.
Chop its head off.
Yeah, chop its head off, destroy it. And this is where there's been so much lacking in science, and this is why I want to make sure as we go forward that you understand the workings. Mrs. Eddy says it clearly, you need to understand the workings of evil. You cannot be stupid to it. It's not real, but it has to be proven that. To ignore it...
Well, Mary...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, too, I was thinking, you know, the people, because sometimes it is scary, and you do hear about people, you know, dropping dead. I've read that throughout the Hartsook book of different people who the church went after, and a lot of people just, you know, passing on very suddenly. But the people who didn't were the ones that didn't personalize it. You know, they were the Eustaces of the world, and I know there's a few others, too, where they just, you know, they didn't see it as person, place, or thing, and therefore it didn't have a hook in them to get in and kill them.
Yeah. And you saw the powerlessness of it so clearly. Yeah.
I think detaching the evil from the person is really the key. Because when you see that it's not the person, well, there's nothing to hold you back to really come back and give the evil itself everything it needs and strike the death blow to it. And, you know, it just cowers away when it's met with truth, not with a personal retaliation, of course.
Right, you separate it from person. Destroy the error. You love the child of God, but you just destroy the error, which is the suggestion or the belief that there is a power apart from God. And as we talked about last week, you know that the error goes back on itself and destroys itself with accelerated force. It will. To me, this is why, thank God that person resigned, because he knew what malicious mental malpractice is. But this is why it is so important that you understand what Mrs. Eddy is saying in her work, what it is. If you know what it is, you can't be duped and deceived. I mean, people that are on that committee, what in the world could they be thinking? They obviously don't know the textbook.
Also, besides that, I can't imagine them having even a conscience. Who would actually be so malicious in their mind? And be able to live with themselves. I don't get it.
It makes me think of the Pharisees, who were so self-righteous and righteous in their own thought that they could justify any action to protect that righteousness that they felt they owned. And to me, with the misteaching of all the animal magnetism and mental malpractices gone on, it's a very easy place to drift off to. I saw similar things happen when I was in the church myself, that it just easily becomes a self-defense, and you really think you're right in doing it.
Thank you. I guess it shows clear misunderstanding of Mrs. Eddy's message, really. It does. And if you know her and how she dealt with things and how much love she expressed, then we will go on in the next question about that as well. And you would know, you could tell that this was definitely, and to wish for someone or to pray or work for someone's downfall is just, I mean, that you might as well be, as we talked about, a voodoo witchcraft. That's what you've gotten into.
I think one of the things that hits people is that they fail to recognize that the truth is that error does not get bigger when it is confronted and grappled with. It gets bigger when it's left alone and ignored or fleed from. So you've got absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain by doing these things we've been talking about. Take up arms against evil, impersonally that is. There's a reason why we've learned, you know, God is the all power, the one and only power, and he's only good. So that these false claims can be denounced and deflated to their native nothingness.
This is why we have to learn how to handle mental malpractice, because Lord knows you don't know where it's coming from. Who would have thought it's coming from the Christian Science Church? And so it's totally impersonal. We handle it impersonally, and wherever it comes from, it's gone.
It's so true.
You know, last week I read from Mrs. Eddy's statements on the 4th of July, where I said, where she says, large numbers in desperate malice are engaged day and night in organizing action against us. Their feeling and purpose are deadly, and they have sworn enmity against the lives of our standard bearers. So I just want you to know that she wasn't kidding, and my goodness, I know she never, ever would have expected or thought it was, or maybe she did know it becoming from her own misconception of church, of Christian Science.
I think she saw it coming.
Yeah.
I think she clearly saw it coming. Because what better way could the devil attack her science than from within the organization?
She also said they must learn from their mistakes, so she knew they were going to have to go through this.
Exactly.
Who else? Florence?
I wanted to say that...
Connie? Okay, Connie.
I wanted to say it's not just the board and their appointed little group. I actually, my very first practitioner, and I knew how to choose them, was one of those. There was a group of people here in Dallas that the church had, and they were all practitioners, going after one person, and that person did die, and she herself, she met a terrible end, a terrible end. So there it is.
Well, this couldn't go on in the organization if it weren't tolerated by the majority of the members. The majority of the members in the field stood up to this. It wouldn't survive.
They're asleep to it, though. They don't believe it will happen or believe it is happening.
Which is why...
The bland denial.
Right.
Yeah, the bland denial.
Which is why one day when thousands of so-called Christian Scientists were gathered outside of Mrs. Eddy's home for some, I can't remember what the occasion was, and she stood out and looked at these hundreds or thousands of people, she remarked that she did not see one Christian Scientist.
And this is why, you know, numbers don't necessarily impress me any more than they might have once. I would rather have a few that know what you're doing, how to work correctly. These roundtables have become workshops. They're workshops for your watches. They're workshops for your life. They're workshops for everything. So you know how to work correctly, so you will not be deceived. So you know Mrs. Eddy's work and the Bible as well. Because if you know what is true, you will not be deceived by the lie. You couldn't possibly indulge in something like this after reading those two pages we studied last week. And as Lenny said, and we talked about it too last week, there has to be a hook. If you personalize it, and you see, it would be, to hear this, right away you feel very indignant. How dare What? How dare they do that? And you feel like, well, I'm going to get this. But that's where you got to. You can't do that. You've got to impersonalize it and know that it's not the truth and it has no power because it isn't the truth. It's not of God. Don't have the hook in you. Don't be hateful yourself or revengeful, resentful, egotistical, arrogant, ungrateful. All those are hooks. And if you have a hook, it will seem to find you. And if you don't, it can't touch you. This is why we're taught every day, at the end of the day, to clear your slate before you go to bed. Make sure you're not hating anyone, resenting anyone. Count your blessings. Be grateful for the good. Re-energize yourself. Keep your love high, burning high. Don't get stale and flat and indifferent. We talked about indifference is a form of hate. Keep your fire burning for this truth and your gratitude for God. It's not easy to do this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. But think of the alternative. The alternative is pretty awful. I've been in the alternative, and I didn't like it very much. So, also, perhaps this is a good spot for this. This has always meant so much to me. It's in John 19, where Jesus is going to be crucified. Starts on line verse 5. I'll start it there. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. That is your answer. That is your protection. That is it. No one has any power against you unless it be given to them by God, nor do you have any power against anyone unless it comes from God, because God is the only power. That is where you stay. That is your stamp. The only power God gave anyone is to bless you, and that's the only power you have, is to bless others, because we have a God of love. If you stay in that, and if you know this to be true, and you live it and work with it as we talked about, this malicious mental malpractice cannot touch you. And if at any time you feel strange or you get strange thoughts, no, they're not yours. And just say, go back to where you came from and destroy itself. And destroy yourself. Iqbal Young says also that the hater gets all the hate. Can't touch you. Just make sure you're not being the malpractitioner yourself. Everyone clear on this?
Yes. Hello?
Yes?
About the indifference last time, I just wanted to say that one good example is like about the homeless people, which many of us call the invisible, because that's how much indifference has. You know, done some work as to get us to even not see them. And therefore, you know, lack of compassion and not help on it. So I just, because I work with this, you know, I pray every day that we get more compassion. And see them, first of all, and that makes it visible when they just come to do some.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, indifference is a killer. We should feel the needs of mankind. He was saying the homeless are become invisible. We must include all in our prayers, all mankind, and certainly suffering, those that suffer, and know that they are surrounded in God's love. God loves them, and they will find the truth that they need. It's within them already. Okay. Page 32 of Miscellaneous Writing. Fairly, would you read the question and the first two paragraphs?
Yes, okay. How shall we demean ourselves towards the students of disloyal students? And what about that clergyman's remarks on Christ and Christmas? From this question, I infer that some of my students seem not to know in what manner they should act towards the students of false teachers, or such as have strayed from the rules and divine principle of Christian Science. The query is abnormal when precept upon precept, line upon line, are to be found in the scriptures and in my books on this very subject. In Mark, 9th chapter, commencing at the 33rd verse, you will find my views on this subject. Love alone is admissible towards friend and foe. My sympathies extend to the above-named class of students more than to many others. If I had the time to talk with all students of Christian Science and correspond with them, I would gladly do my best towards helping those unfortunate seekers after truth whose teacher is straying from the straight and narrow path. But I have not moments enough in which to give to my own flock all the time and attention that they need. And charity must begin at home.
Thank you. Any comments on just that part before we get into Mark 9? Well, you see, she's answering just what we have talked about, isn't she?
Yeah.
Misled. Someone who would maliciously work against someone else. I mean, maybe that's perhaps more than misled, but whatever it is, we don't hate anyone, but we destroy the error that would be handling, and we are aware of it. We don't let it enter our own thinking. So, but she says here, she has nothing but love. And Eustace, too. Eustace is a wonderful example of that. And if you read, especially the beginning of his book, when he talks about how everyone had turned on him, how he refused to personalize it. And I think I told you the story of Richard Oakes, who was one of his students. Richard Oakes, who knew the carpenters, and Richard Oakes, who was responsible for the Blue Book, the Red Book, also several other books, which have all of Mrs. Eddy's unauthorized writings in them, my understanding of it. Anyway, when he talked to Eustace, and he was very close to Eustace, he would go to his home at times. Eustace had a beautiful home out in California, he and his wife. And Oakes would say, "Well, why aren't you mad at them? How could they have done that to you? That's just terrible. You got excommunicated, and all you were doing was what was right." And Oakes got quite a rebuke from Eustace. Eustace said, "I don't ever want to hear you talk like that again." Eustace knew his life depended on that, on maintaining his standard, his high sense of things. And if he went down to that level and began to hate or feel such injustice was done to him, then he would end up destroying himself. That hook would be there. So he was firm about it, as was Jesus, as was Mrs. Eddy, and as were so many of these prophets that we've talked about, Daniel, Joseph, all of them. They wouldn't get down to that level of hating, even though terrible atrocities were against them, laid against them, and it would seem to be personal, but it's never personal. So, okay, anyone else before we go into Mark 9? I don't believe Mark 9 has ever been in a lesson. Anyway.
Not recently.
Well, not recently, yes. Okay, I would like verses 33 to 37 read. Okay, Lenny, you read Mark 9, 33 to 37.
And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me."
Thank you. Now, isn't that interesting? First of all, he's asking them, right? He's asking, "What are you guys arguing about? What's going on?" And what did they do?
Wouldn't tell him.
They wouldn't tell him, and how come?
They probably knew where that was going.
Yeah.
The path to a rebuke.
They were ashamed to think such thoughts.
Error's method is secrecy. Doesn't want to be out in the light. Hates the light.
Yeah, and they knew, they were ashamed that they were talking about who was going to be the greatest. This is the age-old problem. And this is why this council is so important to all of us. Many times people will ask about our church, "Well, you know, what happened with Mrs. Evans?" And, you know, I was thinking about it. And these passages is what reminded me of it. The early stages, and we were kind of new here at that time, or maybe even living in New York. But anyway, Mrs. Evans was having tremendous healing work going on. The church was growing. She was bringing in students. In those days, we weren't online. If you wanted to be part of things, and that was part of her practice. If you wanted healing, you wanted her to help you, and you were getting the benefits, then you were to come and work for God. Like the fishermen. You dropped everything and you came. Well, anyway, this was going on, and there was another practitioner in the church. And actually, she had been my practitioner. And I won't say she was evil or anything, although some people would argue that was a point. But jealousy started. That was the root of it. That was the root. The jealousy started. Factions. Just that simple. What could have been done to avoid it?
They acknowledge if they became aware that they were jealous and what not to be jealous. It
right.
Doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's God who gives what to do. So.
Right. Thank you.
Could have learned to rejoice in another's good.
Yes. We all have our fields of work, whether you're a practitioner, I don't care what you are, and work in the church. You've all got things to do. You've all got your own work to do, your own row to hoe. If you were working at it sincerely the best you can, you will grow, you will attract, you know, you will be promoted, if you will, and God will do that promotion. Not you, not because you seek to be the greatest, not because you want a position, but just because it will happen. So in that case, yeah, who knows what's going on? You just keep your head held low in humility. You do the work best you can. You attract those people, and in this case, this was the practice, those people whom you can help. You work in your own vineyard. But instead, what does happen, or what happened in this case, what can happen?
Well, there's a hook, and therefore you just keep getting more and more jealous.
Yeah.
It has to blow up at some point. So.
And also, then you say, well, she can't be that great. There's something wrong with her. You know, something's not right. She, you know, this isn't right. Something's not right with her. How could this be happening? And then you look for fault, which is exactly what happened.
And then you become upset. That's me, then.
Go ahead. Then you what? Who was speaking?
You, Dede. I was saying then you become obsessed with it and you take the focus off of what you're supposed to be doing in the first place.
Yes.
You can't be effective at all.
That's true. You become less and less effective. And whatever you're doing is going to go downhill. You think you were having trouble at first. Well, it's going to get worse.
Kind
of
looks at
it. Also, that's a good example of the I not going to my father. You know, when the sense of I stays with me, like, oh, it's me doing this, or, you know, I'm doing such great work or whatever, all the attribution is you. It's like you're the star of the show.
Yes.
You know, if the I goes to your father, then you see that God is the one doing it. It really makes no difference where it comes from, or who it comes through, because the I is always with God.
Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. This is personal sense in full bloom, and you take the bait and you get into it. And I mean, in this case, we're talking about the practice. It could be anything. It could be in your business too, but it sometimes seems to be very rampant in a church, which is maybe why people don't want to be in a church or have any part of it. So
it can happen in a marriage too.
Can happen in a marriage?
Yes,
it can.
Husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Can happen in a family with children. There's this thing called sibling rivalry. The same thing.
The green-eyed monster is personal. And it will happen. And if you feel it happening, all of the bells in you should go off. I find let the hand play out. I believe in the tares and the wheat. Sometimes you might be going through a dry spell. Maybe you're not doing all that great at the moment, and Mr. So-and-so is, or Mrs. So-and-so. So let it just play out. You just keep on trekking, doing the best you can. Let it play out. If it's of God, it will stand. If it's not of God, it won't. That's what the Bible says. I've seen many examples of it. But don't get into this envy, jealousy, personal sense, faction, struggle. Who shall be the greatest? That's why to have a church, or as Luann calls it, collective love, to have more than one person that can get along. Hallelujah! Wow, that's great. Isn't that amazing? Something great's going on. It's not easy, folks. It's not easy to do this, and yet if we can do it, if we can follow these biblical rules, tremendous things can be accomplished in unity. And of course, it's always first unity with your father, and then with your brethren.
And another feature of this, or another point that I see in this, is the idea of judging someone else in the first place. Who's to judge where someone is? Whether they're following the right path or not the right path. I mean, when you see evil, when you feel evil, you feel it. It's clear. But if someone's going through a tough time, if someone is misled, who's to judge? Isn't God the only judge? Maybe they need to go through something to learn a lesson that they need to learn. You know, somebody says, you know, walk a mile in their shoes before you make any judgments.
Who else? Someone else was going to speak?
Yes, I was going to say that's why Mrs. Eddie ends her daily treatment. When I cease to judge, criticize, then I make progress.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you.
Good.
And that's why, too, gossip isn't allowed. Talking about others. Now, we're not certainly getting rid of the other aspect of love with a capital L, which is the rebuking of an error. Does need to be done. And it should be done. Should be done. If things need to be said, it should be said. You tell of the foe an ambush to the best of your ability, but then you leave it to God to start factions or gossip or all of that. I don't see it anywhere in Mrs. Eddy's writings or in the Bible. So these are so important. If this will bless you here at your workplace, in your home, yeah, and as Gary said, it's true. I mean, we can see husbands and wives. They can be jealous. A wife or a husband starts to grow in science. That was one thing Mrs. Evans would teach us. One starts to make progress, the other doesn't like it. It's just the carnal mind. Try to pull the other person down or maybe make disparaging remarks or do things that would disrupt the home. That's animal magnetism, and it's not the person, it's not the husband or the wife, but it's the arrow trying to get your progress to stop. You see it that way and you handle it that way, you can head it off at the pass. You can destroy it. If you don't, it can lead into a mess. And I've seen it lead into a mess. Envy, jealousy, it's a human carnal mind. It's not the truth about God's creation. And if you're not being envious or jealous, then, well, that's really all you're responsible for, isn't it, yourself? Anybody else? This is so important. I was so happy when I saw this story.
I think that's what Mrs. Eddie is talking about when she says, be a law unto yourselves. In other words, don't go out and start ruling other people, whatever. Put your own mentality in order and keep it that way. Connection with God is like the vital lifeline.
It is. It is. And I mean, she's saying here, you do good to them. That's biblical, but you do good to them that despise you. And that's sometimes very hard to do, but you can certainly do good to them in thinking about them correctly. Any questions about this? And then, I mean, I did think it was very funny about how the disciples didn't want to let him know what they were thinking. And do remember, you don't seek any positions in church, or really anywhere. If you're living the truth, you will be promoted. God promotes. It'll happen. And the other, the least shall be the greatest. You know, that this total sense of humility. If scrubbing the bathroom is your job, then great. You do it to the best of your ability. It's an important job. You give it your all. I scrub bathrooms for a very long time. seriously, I did. So you, whatever position, whatever job you get, you take it and you do the best with it. And no, truly, no position is better than any other. They're all needed. No one wants to use the dirty bathroom, for heaven's sake. So they all have a place.
And then, along with that, I've heard it said, not very often, about so and so running the church, or you know, so and who's in charge of the church, who's in charge of this, or who's in charge of that. And I chuckle whenever I hear stuff like that, because it's so clearly the human mind that thinks that somebody could actually be in charge of anything in God's church. And we strive really hard to keep this God's church. Nobody seeks a position, as Mary said, and nobody runs anything. And to a very large extent, nobody tells anybody else what to do. Everybody goes to God for guidance for the job that they have. And we've seen it accomplish incredible things over the years. We've seen God's hand on this church and the activities of this church. And for me, it's a miracle. It's God's hand.
Yeah, we always have just enough people to get the job done. Not usually any more either. So,
When we've needed a certain skill, God provided the person with that skill.
Yeah. Okay. And if when someone left, someone else would come along. You know, Carpenter talks about people getting burned out. And that can happen, especially if you feel humanly that you're doing it. You can feel very burned out. And if that ever happens and it's too much, well, someone else comes along who's maybe a little fresher. But if God gets the job done, it's not by person. And for a while, Mrs. Evans, there's no doubt she was a leader. You know, we would be lying to say that was anything, but that was true. She did lead, and she took firm control. But that was at a very necessary time, going through a law case. And eventually it did catch up with her, because at the end, you know, she did say the church was hers and it wouldn't go on without her, and that was personalizing church. So always have to be careful, and no one is, to be careful that no one gets too big for their britches. Lenny says, thinking they're doing something when it's God. God doing it. And I thank God, because all of you are being raised up to fulfill many positions, and you're doing it well. Without supervision, I don't see what readings you're going to read on Wednesday nights and say I like it or I don't like it, or nor does anyone else. You come up with them, you pray about them, you read them. Through the testimonies, all the committee work, people are demonstrating. There's some big, huge problem. And it gets taken times to the board, but generally all the board does is check out financial things. People need money. We try to keep it so simple. And we encourage you all to take active part for your own growth, so that you will be the light unto the world that is so necessary in your part of the world. And then, of course, Jesus brings the little child to him and says that we should all be that way, as a little child. So you can ask yourself, not childish, but childlike. You have the childlike qualities of trust in God and confidence and joy. You have a problem with somebody, you say it, hit them over the head, get it over with. You don't harbor any resentments. Go to bed at night. A free heart. Okay, any more comments on that section?
I can't resist but take an opportunity to say that's why I feel it's so important to not stop sharing the inspirations that we individually get from reading the lessons on the forum. There's so much in there, and I think, you know, we're now getting some fresh ones. It's really very good. You never know who you will bless. I can't stop saying this because I get comments. I just read this and it made a difference. Nobody is higher than anyone when going to God or getting inspiration from God. It's meant to bless someone. So I just like to say that.
Thank you, Florence. Yeah, the forum is very important. It hasn't been as active as it once was, and we don't necessarily need numbers, but you're reading the lesson, you should be getting some fresh inspiration. And to share it with someone is very helpful. The forum's always been very popular if people do look at it. Carthens, who used to write, has been busy with other things, and that's how it works. You just get busy with other things. So think about it. Don't you have one thing you could say a week about the lesson that you found helpful? Don't you have one thing that you could thank God for on a Wednesday night meeting? Think about what you can do, because this is our missionary work, to share it with others. We're not here today to be selfishly fed. The only reason we're here today is to give it out to others, be able to better do that. Thank you, Florence. Anybody else?
I just wanted to say something about the verse 35.
Please.
It says, if any man desire to be first, the same should be last of all and servant of all. And to me, that's always meant that a true leader really serves the people he leads, because if he's not caring about the people that he serves or is leading, then he shouldn't be a leader at all. It's just about them. And we've already said that, but it just, if you are going to lead, you need to serve.
Thank you. That's very important. It is such a sign of a leader. And you see it in Christ Jesus, washing the feet of his disciples, doing all the most humble jobs as a servant.
I would like to share that.
That's a great expectation for our politicians, too, and a prayer for that. You know, that should be the standard.
Well, that's true. And a good politician does, he's there to serve the people. He's not there to how great I am. This how great I am is so deadly. Can't emphasize it enough. Certainly was what all these dictators, what is that all about? It's all how great I am. What I can do, how much money I can get, how powerful I can be. It's one of the worst forms of the human mind, the carnal mind. Watch out for it. Who else is speaking?
Yeah, I would like to share that I had some physical problems, and the only thing I could manage to do was preparing the German version of the lesson. It was the only thing I could do on the computer. I couldn't put on glasses, I couldn't read. But I could sit at the computer and prepare the lesson for the week after.
Thank
you. And that was a big present for me.
Thank you. And that goes back to that sentence in Fidelity. Too soon we cannot turn from disease in the body to find disease in the mortal mind and its cure and working for God. And you will find it to be true. Sometimes if you can, even if you're tormented by bad thoughts or something, you just don't know what to do, you can't get your peace, sit down, write an article, write a lesson, do a watch, do something unselfishly in this regard, prepare a testimony, count your blessings. You will find relief. You will, because that's how it works. This is unselfish, all that we do. Thank you, Buddha. Okay, well, next week, all things being equal, we will start on Mark 9. With verse 38. I'm going to close with a few things from Collectania. by Mrs. Eddy. Everything that comes to me today brings me a blessing. There is no mortal mind to see me today, or know me today, or think it can, through any of its so-called laws of malpractice, rob me of all good, or hinder me from being conscious here and now of my birthright, which is dominion. Rise if the past detains you, for sunshine and storms forget. No claims so unworthy will hold you as those of vain regret. Bad or bright, she is lifeless ever. Cast her phantom arms away, nor look back to learn the lesson of a nobler strife today. The right idea once gained enables us to stand unmoved and unshaken, the offspring of mind, the son of mind, the son of God. God, bless my enemies, make them thy friends, give them to know the joy and peace of love. So, thank you all. Go forward, have a good service, and God keep you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.